Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Lincoln Journal Stars Life in the Red podcast. As always, Luke Mullen and Amy Just here with you to break down a really busy week in Nebraska athletics. A little bit more than a week, actually, since we've last been here podcasting.
Busy month.
New athletic director, NCAA tournament action, spring football, spring
transfer portal.
Transfers. Yeah, I mean, the list could quite seriously go on and on here.
Wrestling championships, yes. Softball, baseball, men's gymnastics won the share of the Big Ten. Oh, like, yeah. There's a lot going on. Yes. Bowling in the postseason. Yep. There's a lot going on.
Certainly a memorable March, Nebraska athletics. And we'll get into all the NCAA tournament recaps, spend a moment breaking down spring football and as well spring sport updates as usual. But want to just mention new athletic director, Troy Dannon, formally introduced this week. We shot a little video in that aftermath. You can feel free to check that out for some of our in-depth thoughts. But just kind of in general, the presentation in front of some of the university leadership, a lot of head coaches there. What do we kind of make of Troy Dannon, his introduction and his message to Nebraska?
Yeah, I thought that, you know, he came out strong. You know, he really wanted to get across that he wants to win and win at all costs. He's not shying away from NIL. He's not shying away from, you know, what needs to be done in that space, saying that he'll be wearing 1890 gear as much as he'll be wearing the N. Like, he really wants to, you know, get in front of that. Because you can't succeed in this day and age in college athletics without embracing that to its fullest. I thought that was really interesting. And then in our Q&A session, the things that jumped out to me the most were like his thoughts on holding everybody to the volleyball standard, and his thoughts on, or his lack of thoughts, mind you, on the Memorial Stadium project and how he hadn't dug into that at all, but will be doing so in the future. And I liked that he admitted that he didn't know anything about it. It's been a whirlwind for him, was the word that he used to me when we were in Memphis. So once he gets settled in a little bit, you know, meets the people he needs to meet, do all of those things, he can settle in and start to figure out what Trev's vision there was, what the feeling around it is, what the financing is. Like, he just didn't know any of it. And I'm glad that he admitted that, because you don't want him talking sideways on something he didn't know anything about.
And the interesting thing about the Memorial Stadium project is obviously he's not committed to anything. You know, he wasn't the one who put this plan into place. You know, it's not like South Stadium's torn down, you know, right now and needs to be rebuilt. Like, this is the stage of evaluation, and a serious evaluation is what it sounds like, because he said, and this was a really important thing, is it going to help us win? That was kind of his message, like, put a winning product on the field and maybe figure out some of that other stuff afterwards.
Yeah. And I do think there needs to be some improvements to South Stadium. Does it need to be completely demolished? I guess I don't know. I don't know. But on the flip side, if you start doing renovations to it or giving it a facelift, will you be able to augment that to meet ADA compliance without tearing it all the way down? I genuinely don't know the answer to that question.
Yeah. I mean, there's a really, really serious risk reward, you know, cost benefit analysis, all those types of things. And like you said, I think it was very smart that he was not making any sort of permanent claims about, you know, his opinion or how he sees that project going forward or not. Because again, this is something that's going to be a crucially important discussion over the next few months. Will be one of the biggest decisions he's going to have to make as athletic director. But just overall, you know, he had a good message about the football team, about the success of these basketball teams, NCAA tournament runs, and the athletic department as a whole. So Troy Dannon being introduced, and I think hitting the ground running, certainly in these first 2 weeks in his role. So that was kind of the big, you know, overarching news. But As we always do, want to highlight the different sports teams and, of course, basketball, NCAA tournament action, men's and women's team both in action. We'll start with the men's team. They were the first to exit the tournament, opening round game 98-83 to A&M, and not a lot of defense in that game, but A&M did have like an all-time shooting performance. It was something special.
Yeah, A&M was one of the worst teams in Division I at shooting the three and defending the three all season. Like, in the bottom 1% of Division I. And so for them to come out and shoot like that was not something that they had, that Nebraska anticipated would happen. And which is totally fair because it hadn't happened all season. My brain's working faster than my mouth today. And so in the locker room after the game, I asked Juwan Geary, I'm like, what was more frustrating for you, that y'all couldn't get a stop when A&M was shooting really hot outside, or all of the offensive rebounds that they were getting? He's like, oh, the shooting. We knew offensive rebounds were going to be an issue. They're the best team in the country at that, which they are. But yeah, they were just so frustrated by how well Texas A&M was shooting from outside. And it didn't help that Nebraska was just uncharacteristically cold from outside as well.
Yeah, it was 13 for 23 was the final mark from three-point range for A&M. And I mean, realistically, you look at that, I mean, Nebraska scores 83. That's a good mark that you'd expect to be, you know, pretty competitive in a game like this, you know, even with those three-point struggles. So ultimately, probably that defensive end of the floor is where the things went awry. But you were down there in Memphis. You know, obviously it was from everything we heard, it seemed like a Husker party. I mean, what was the atmosphere around that game?
Oh, it was PBA South. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There was only a small section of A&M fans, and most everybody who was, you know, didn't have a dog in the fight for that was cheering for Nebraska and for Casey, or Fred, or you know, whoever they wanted to latch on to. But yeah, and it felt great for like the first 11 minutes of the game.
It was
like,
really close there. Yeah.
It was intense. It was really intense. My heart rate was like through the roof.
I mean, the pace of the game that was being played, I mean, it was up and down.
Haymaker
the court.
After haymaker, track meet type situation, and then just kind of fell apart there and continued to get worse.
Yeah. When the shots stopped falling. And they kept falling for A&M. And so Bryce Williams had an excellent game. He scored 24, but an end to the Nebraska career of Keisei Tominaga. Made 5 three-pointers in that one, scored 21 points. And, you know, worth looking back at, if there's ever, you know, going to be a player that you're going to identify with Fred Hoiberg and, you know, this building up of this Nebraska program, has to be Keisei Tominaga, everything he's contributed this last few years.
Yeah, Keisei, Derek Walker are the two that come to mind for me when you think about that. And just watching Casey, like it hit Casey that they were going to lose. Oh, it was painful. Because he had checked out like earlier, like late in the game, but not like at the end when he checked out for the last time. And he was already on the bench, just in tears, towel over his head. And I'm sitting right behind him and I'm just like, oh. Is hard to watch. And then when he went back in, he got it back together. And then when he and Josiah checked back out, that was it was hard to watch.
Yep. Those two seniors departing, ending their college careers, and contributed so much to this team. I mean, the energy around this program this year, I think, was something special, especially, you know, they get that big win over Purdue. You know, the NCAA tournament berth was getting closer, and obviously, a really successful year to make it to the NCAA tournament. Even if they didn't, you know, ultimately get that goal, get that first tournament win, a lot of positives to take away from this year. But there's a big but. As soon as the season ends, the off-season roster movement begins, and this is not going to be the same Nebraska team that comes back on the court next year. Already four portal entries. Were you surprised by the number of entries so far?
No, not really. So as it breaks down, if there was no movement, no portal guys out, no portal guys in, they'd have one available scholarship. So now they're looking at 5 when you have Ramel Lloyd in the portal. That was expected. I think he's a great kid. Just he'll find his spot. Yeah.
Just a shame that he didn't really get the chance there out on the court. Two years in the program.
Yeah, absolutely. Good kid. Wishing him the best. So that one was not a surprise. Mm-hmm. Then Eli Rice goes in. That was a little bit of a surprise. And then you talk to some people around the program, and they kind of expected it. And Blaze, you feel bad for Blaze, right? Like, he had, you know, you could see flashes of what he could be last season, and then with that ankle injury and just never getting right.
Yeah.
Again, I wish him the best. He's a good guy. Always happy, always smiling, just a good energy guy. So I hope he finds his place. And then yesterday with CJ Wilcher going in, not going to lie, that one hit me pretty hard. He's one of my favorites. Will go down as one of my favorites. But I wasn't, at the same time, though, I wasn't surprised. Just because, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if he wants to play closer to home, potentially play with his younger brother for a year in his last year eligibility. So, you know, that one sucks, but it's the name of the game. And if that is truly what he wants to do, you can't fault him for that.
Yeah. I mean, you look at three of those four players are really injury related, you know, just Nebraska career maybe didn't pan out how they wanted. You know, you go somewhere else, you get that fresh start, of course. And then on the opposite side, you got the veteran CJ Wilcher, who's, you know, contributed so much to this program. And once you're at that stage, you know, probably as a graduate transfer, you know, you have that option of, well, you know, do you want to stay, come back to the same place for another year? Or, as you mentioned, you know, for whatever reason, playing time, you know, family, NIL, whatever reason the players have, and this is not just CJ specific, anybody as a grad transfer, you have that option. So I think it does make sense that he was willing to explore that, but it is a big loss, a big three-point shooter, key guard for this Nebraska team.
Yeah, and that doesn't even factor in how, you know, no more Kasey, no more Josiah. Then you turn that in with the incoming freshmen and Frager and Janowski.
Yeah, I will say, though, five scholarships to work with. And if we've seen anything from a Fred Hoiberg offseason, he's gonna get some pretty decent transfers in.
Yeah, and he's going to shoot for the stars.
Yeah, that's right. So there will be a lot of lot more portal action to watch here in the next couple weeks as Nebraska goes over those transfer portal solutions. But again, those four guys there in the portal, that off-season work and roster movement already starting up and continuing here soon. But moving on, let's talk about the women's basketball team. They did, of course, win their first round game against Texas A&M, but they almost lost it. I mean, 61-59, almost blew a 17-point lead. A&M, they had a game-winning three-point attempt. That was stressful.
Yeah, I was watching that at a wing place, and there were a lot of Nebraska fans around, and they were stressed. And I was stressed too, right? Because I had projected the Nebraska women to make it to the Sweet 16. Like, I thought that they had a favorable path to do so, but they had to, you know, lock in on their keys and whatnot. And yeah, it got a little sketchy there for a minute, but they figured it out. And then had to turn it around pretty quickly against an Oregon State team came out firing and played a lot better than I thought they would.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think in both those games, they probably just did not shoot the basketball as well as they did. And, you know, we talked several times about how well they were playing, you know, playing their best basketball heading into this NCAA tournament. And I don't think that they would have felt those two games accurately reflected how well they played over the course of the whole season.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely not. I thought that, and I've said this before, I thought the Big Ten championship game against Iowa outside of a few minutes was the best game they've played all season. And so naturally you think that they'd be able to build off of that and, you know, stretch a little run together. But when the shots don't fall. And that's definitely what happened against Oregon State.
Yeah, it just did not shake out. And in that game, that 61-51 loss to Oregon State, I mean, trailed for the majority of it. Only shot 31.3% from the field, 20% from three-point range.
And that 20% from three-point range only got to 20% late in the fourth quarter. For the longest time, it was 7.
Yeah.
So
that was always going to be difficult.
Yeah.
Certainly. And as Kasey Tominaga's career ends on the men's side, hugely impactful player On the women's side, Jazz Shelley, a great scorer, great assister, has meant so much in terms of these contributions on the court these last 3 years, and her career moving on. She and Alexis Markowski had a pretty touching post-game moment there, talking about how much Shelley has meant to the program.
Oh, yeah. If you watch that and you don't feel something, yeah, I don't think you have a heart, right? It just, it was really touching. You know how much that Jazz has meant to this program, and you could just see it, right, in her face and with Alexis. It's going to be hard for them next year without her, but they're going to have to figure it out.
Yeah, looking forward to following her career. I'm sure she'll have some professional opportunities coming up, no doubt. A player of her caliber, but...
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Just as transfer portal happens on the men's side, it's happening on the women's side too. Not four entries, only one so far for the women's team, but it is a big one. Forward Annika Stewart, really key player, has played in 111 games over the last 4 years. She's choosing to enter the portal as a grad transfer.
Yeah, you know, like she's been here for 4 years. Like she deserves to find a new place, fresh start, kind of like on the men's side, Rink Mass did, yeah. Right? You know, he was at Bradley for 4 years, decided to try something different and, you know, see what happens. So, but yeah, I wish her the best.
Yeah,
she's could be a great teammate and has played her role very successfully. So yeah. If she's looking for something a little more expansive, I hope that she finds it.
Yeah, could be a big boost for her playing time and role if she lands at a new spot there. So Annika Stewart in the portal. But as we look at this women's basketball team, I think the future is very, very bright. I mean, the expectations for this team next year are going to be very high. You know, this year they were obviously NCAA tournament team. I think Sweet 16, you know, winning, getting out of that second round, that could be part of the equation because you look at the talent, Alexis Markowski, of course, she'll be back, all Big Ten, you know, mainstay there in the post. And then Natalie Potts, Logan Nisley, we talked about how good freshman years they had, and they're going to be back and better as sophomores.
Yeah, I cannot wait to see how they continue to develop. I cannot wait to see what Jess Petrie does. Mm-hmm. I think she has a really high upside too, in terms of, you know, another freshman. What a great freshman class. And I can't wait to see them continue to develop in this program.
Yeah. And the young players too, freshman Britt Prince and Kennedy Williams, they'll be joining the fray. And Allison Widener, she will be back. You know, we probably mentioned, you know, like the first week or two of the year, like, oh, it would have been, imagine this team with, if Widener was healthy.
Still, yeah. imagine this team if Widener was healthy.
Man, they would have been something with her. Great playmaking guard, can shoot it too. She's going to be so huge to have back full healthy next year.
Yeah, and she deserves it, man. Like, she's been through the ringer. She hasn't played in a game of basketball since December 2022.
It's too long. Yep. So a lot to look forward to for this women's basketball team, even after that second round NCAA tournament exit. And we will, of course, we'll be following any other off-season movement, roster changes that happen. But for now, you know, basketball is done and it's time to turn the page at least a little bit to spring football. You know, only a few weeks before that spring game there, April 26th, we got about a month or so of spring practice. And today we got our first look at it. We were there for an open portion inside the Hawks Championship Center, Nebraska, going through one of his first practices of spring. And of course, we're looking at the quarterbacks, Dylan Raiola, Daniel Kalen, Heinrich Harburg, those three scholarship guys. And as always with these open periods, you only see a little bit, but you see him throwing, you see him going through some of their drills. And, you know, it's very clear the amount of talent that Dylan Raiola has in that arm of his.
Oh, yeah. No kidding. But I saw the same from Danny, too.
True. Yeah.
So it's going to be a really interesting spring, really interesting summer, and really interesting training camp, to say the least, in that regard.
Yep. And a couple other details to talk about really briefly from this open spring practice. The distance, I mean, it was spread out all over. They've got four practice fields that they can make use of, and they were using all of them, which is really interesting because I'm pretty sure when one of the issues previously before, you know, the Hawks had been expanded was so many players on the roster, not enough space. Like, that was an issue. There's guys just standing around to practice. Well, Matt Rhule comes in and he doesn't want any of that. You know, he wants to split up position groups, get everybody active at all the times. And having all four of these fields now, I mean, it was high energy running back and forth from station to station. They make use of that 2-hour practice window.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and they have the two grass fields outside. They have the full turf field inside, and then the not quite a full field of turf, kind of wedged back in there in between the indoor and the new Go Big. They still haven't named it yet, so that's what I'm going to keep calling it.
I like calling it just the football facility because it feels weird to say Go Big. I don't know.
Well,
whatever. That's probably, it's true. It's true. That's what it's called.
But yeah, and with like the Hawks, like when you say football facility, do like people mean that? Like,
true.
So like the new building.
Yep.
That will
the fancy glass building.
The new building that will probably be named after Tom Osborne, but it has not been named yet. So they've got a small-ish, not quite a full turf field there too to work with. So, but yeah, no, it's hard keeping track of where everybody was because you only have like 20 minutes and, you know, the running backs are off on the far corner of the field and you can't get over there to like watch them closely. I guess I need to bring my binoculars next time.
Well, Anna, as we're getting used to we had finally a roster, New Jersey numbers for a lot of guys. And of course, it's that time of the year where you've got multiple guys wearing the same number.
Coleman and Dylan Raiola both wearing the same number. One of them's going to have to change. Yeah. Maybe one of them will earn a single digit.
That's right. You never know. A lot of those single digits up for grabs. And one of those single digit guys, he was there. I was maybe a little surprised to see him there. Nash Hutmaker. He was just wrestling in the NCAA championships. Now he's out practicing.
Yeah, crazy. That dude is built different.
Yeah. I would want like at least a week off. Yeah.
Not him.
Yeah.
Matt Rhule didn't want him to practice on Monday, but he didn't get the message. And Nash was out there practicing on Monday. And Matt's like, what are you doing? Get off the field.
He's saying, who's going to tell this guy to stop?
Not me.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be me. No, I'm not telling that guy. No.
Yeah. Great, great work ethic. Of course, one of those hugely impactful defensive linemen. So he was back in action soon after NCAA National Wrestling. And also worth noting here at the football practice, a little bit of a change from last year, safety equipment. They're wearing those padded Guardian caps on their helmets. That's a head injury prevention. And, you know, that's something that's been in the case for NFL for a couple of years. But first time Nebraska has utilized those. So
yeah. I asked Matt about that today, and he's just like, yeah, I want our guys to be safe. I want to use all of the science, all of the data that we have. And now that you have 2 full years of data from the NFL, it's proven to help. So why don't we use it?
Yeah, totally makes sense with everything he's talked about. Player safety, health, recovery. I mean, such a focus for this coaching staff. And just another example of that in action, the Guardian caps. So as this spring continues, as a whole, competition, that is the word that they've used. And that's, you know, that goes on everywhere, right? I mean, competition, that's the point of the spring, right? But something specific that they are doing this spring, they're splitting up the roster into 3 different teams. These are the old nicknames of Nebraska football program, the Bug Eaters, the Old Gold Knights, and the Rattlesnake Boys. Great names, by the way.
I did not know about the Rattlesnake Boys.
Yeah,
I did not know about that one. I knew about the other two, but
they went deep in the archives for that.
No kidding.
So yeah, they've got these 3 teams split into offense, defense. Again, go on those different fields, scrimmage a little bit, you know, do a 3rd down, 4th down, goal line, you know, whatever situation they want. And it's all about the competition. See which team wins the most. There's a lot of pride amongst that from these players. And as Matt Rhule said, hey, it's these guys, you know, if you make them do 3rd down, you know, situation 30 times, they're going to be complaining. They're going to be tired. But when it's competition, they're ready to go.
Someone, as an aside, someone needs to GIF that reaction of Matt Rhule, like pantomiming what his players would look like after telling them to do 30 straight 3rd downs. gift worthy, absolutely gift worthy. It's incredible.
Nebraska Twitter might like that one.
That's the new volleyball photo.
Right. Oh yeah. People nationally got a lot of use out of that one. Certainly.
God.
Yep. So again, early returns from spring practice. We just got a little glimpse at it today. We'll learn more from these players, and we'll hear from a lot of the assistant coaches, of course, over the next couple of weeks. So spring football, fully in action. But spring sports, again, this has been a really good stretch for the Husker baseball team, and it has continued. They've now won their last 7 in a row, and it was a narrow midweek win over North Dakota State. Got in 2 of their 3 games against New Mexico State over the weekend. And man, Brett Sears, we mentioned him a couple times for the great pitching performances he's had. Well, he began the year as a Saturday starter, now officially in that Friday starting role, and
as deserved.
Totally deserves it.
Absolutely
yeah.
deserved. You say nothing can slow them down. The weather can slow them down. I was looking forward to that K-State game so bad. That would have been a great game. Mother Nature, though.
Yep. Well, we've been tracking their RPI just outside the top 10 nationally, and K-State, they're another team that was high up in the RPI
rankings. That would have helped.
Yep. That would have been a good one. But going off that that win, 14-2 win, Brett Sears' dominant start, and then Nebraska bullpen, really crucial. It was a 2-1 win over New Mexico State on Saturday before the Sunday game got canceled due to weather. But now it's Big Ten play, and given the record.
I can't believe that we're there already.
I mean, given the record of this Nebraska team, there's no reason why they can't compete for the top of the conference, compete for that conference title. And they'll start things off a 3-game slate at Northwestern, one of those teams that's maybe a little bit further down based on their non-conference slate. So potential to keep that winning streak going. And as we mentioned, the starting rotation, Sears, the Friday starter, Drew Christo, had started some games on Friday. He's been moved to Saturday and tried a couple got different guys out as that Sunday starter. Mason McConaughey had 2 really, really good starts, and he's now that Sunday guy. That rotation looking pretty strong.
Yeah, I'm glad they figured it out. Just early in the season, you never know, right?
Yeah.
But I like what they've all brought to the table, especially Sears. He's fun to watch.
And as well, the guys who were in contention for that rotation role and are now in the bullpen depth has been really good so far. So a lot to like about this start to the season for the Nebraska baseball team. Again, on the road this weekend, as is the case for the Husker softball team, which also in the middle of a bit of a winning patch. It did have a 5-game winning streak that was snapped. 5-2 loss to Omaha. That was a midweek game, and it was a really good chance to see one of the nation's top pitchers, Cameron Meyer. I think she's top 5 strikeouts, maybe top 10 ERA nationally. She was really dominant in that one, and that kind of snapped Nebraska's winning streak, but they were right back to it. They've been hitting the ball amazingly well, and history was made when they returned for their Big Ten opener. Shortstop Billy Andrews slugged a solo homer, 55th of her career, the all-time home run leader. Really special moment.
That's crazy. She's so good, man. But back to Cameron Meyer for a second. She looked good in their fall game.
Yeah.
So her playing well, not surprising whatsoever.
I think she's had a sub-2 ERA each of the last 3 seasons. And I briefly spoke with the Omaha coach after the game, and he was like, she's a great pitcher, not just in the Summit League or Big Ten, great pitcher anywhere.
Period.
Yeah. One of those top pitchers nationally. But certainly the case for this Nebraska offense is what's been pushing the way for these winning efforts. And the game, Billy Andrews hit that home run in. They were pretty much going to lose. It was down there to the end. Nebraska was trailing in that 8th inning. And then ultimately, Samantha Bland hits a walk-off single. Her 2nd in 2 weeks, by the way. She's got some walk-off magic. They win that one 5-4, and they come back the next day. Snowy, it was snowing. It was a little bit surprising, but completely demolished Illinois, 16-6 run rule win. Offense firing on all cylinders in that game. There's been some games, you know, score 5 or 6 runs, which is a decent output, but that game showed when all these players in this lineup are hitting, 10, 12 runs are certainly not out of the question, certainly.
Yeah, 16 runs in a conference game.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy.
Yep, and it was a 12-run inning in particular in that game that spiraled things. So that was it was funny. The weather delay before the game was 80 minutes, and the inning that 12-run inning occurred. And as the minutes continued to tick, we were like, is this inning going to take longer than the weather delight? And it was not close. It was like, it was like 50 minutes, but it was getting up there for an inning of softball. But
was that the game that Dannon was at?
Yes. Yep. And it was, had to sit through a little bit of a snow delay to get that action in that one. But with that Sunday finale being canceled, Nebraska now has won 7 of its last 8 games. They're on the road this weekend. They're going to Wisconsin. Wisconsin has a losing record on the year. So they did play a pretty tough non-con slate. But the interesting thing, I talked to Rhonda Revelle yesterday, and she was saying, I can't remember being at home for this long. And it has been 3 weeks since Nebraska's been on the road, which is a luxury that few Northern teams get in March.
Yeah. When she scheduled that home opener for as early as she did, I was like, I don't know about this, but for them to only have, what, one canceled?
Yeah.
Due to weather? Two? Yeah, one, two. It's pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. They've gotten most of the games in. They've been very successful these last 2 weeks over that homestand. And as well, heading on the road this weekend, I'll be following along as always. So, again, quite a week. More to come. Spring action continues. More off-season roster movement possible, but
maybe a brief vacation for me.
Yeah, get that in where you can.
I'm tired.
No kidding. Well, hope all of you Husker fans out there have been had the chance to catch your breath as well, because more to come. Spring football, as I mentioned, and we'll be back with it next week. We'll have another update for you, as always, on the Life in the Red podcast, but that'll do it for this episode. As always, appreciate your support, and we'll see you next week.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.